Anticipate that every week, don't you? How's Oz going to get up on the stage? What's he going to do? Will he make it? Golly, Dave. Dave make me cry before I ever get up here singing that song. Before I get up here to talk about our dads. Man. Happy Father's Day, everybody. All you dads out there. Thank you. Good day. It's a beautiful day. Father's Day, isn't it? Sure is. I want to thank my family. I got some of my family here today. Thank y'all for coming. And here they just moved here from Nashville. Moved here from Nashville. Hey, Owensboro. The big O. Yeah. Forgive me today. I've had some allergy action going on. As you can tell, my voice is a little froggy, but might have to hope I don't go into coughing. Pray I don't go into coughing. So, let's see, what's up on the, what do you got up here for me today? A few good men. A few good men. Now, a lot of you, Gavin, my nephew, just got out of the Marine Corps. And back in the day, yep, I just got out. Proud of you. But back in the day, those of you who remember, the Marine Corps had the saying, we're looking for a few good men. And a couple of years ago, we did, my men's group did a book, and it's called A Few Good Men. But it's opposite from the Marine Corps. It's Jesus is looking for a few good men. Jesus is looking for a few good men. It was a great book. But let me clue you in today, man. This ain't Mother's Day. All right? Just to let you know, Father's Day is not Mother's Day. All right? Mother's Day was observed in the United States in the mid-1800s, around the time of the Civil War. And it was made a national holiday in 1914. 1914, Mother's Day, national holiday. The second Sunday in May has become the most popular day in history for eating out. Hey, guess that. Popular day. Most popular day. A record number of phone calls are made every Mother's Day. Record number. Record number of card sales. Record number of flowers sold on Mother's Day. This ain't Mother's Day. All right? But what happened to us? I mean, Father's Day wasn't made a national holiday until 1972. 58 years later, it was made a national holiday, and then it was made a national holiday by then President Richard Nixon. I mean, what? I mean, come on. I mean, daggone. So 58 years later. Now, granted, in the 30s and the 40s, this is historically correct, men really, they did not want a Father's Day. They didn't think getting cards and letters and all, they didn't think that was manly. And they just really railed against having a Father's Day. But really, in all seriousness, why aren't we men given the same due as women when it comes to raising our families? Well, I'll tell you, frankly, gentlemen, as an old good friend of mine used to say, Tom Turner, we've dropped the ball in taking a leadership role with our families, on leading our families. We have just really turned it over to the ladies. Now, ladies, I want you to understand something today. All things, I said this early on. Nothing I say here today is in any way to disparage the role that you have in raising our families. The extremely important role that you have in raising children and raising families. I'll tell you right now, Connie Osborne has made me, a better man. She's made me a better husband. She's made me a better father. And I think all you husbands that are sitting next to your wives, I believe you probably could say that. She's been a mentor to me and she's been a guide to me in my life. But how did this happen? Where have we men gotten off the path that God set out for us to be on being leaders of our families? Edmund Burke said, "The only necessary thing for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Not being supportive of their wives or the mother of their children, not being involved with the lives of their children, not being involved with the community, not being the spiritual leaders that God intended them to be. The first thing we need to look at this morning is, what is the world's definition of a man and a father, and what is God's definition of a man and a father? Well, we've got a lot of images that the world throws out there about what a man should be and what a father should be. Or worse yet, what the world has done to emasculate men. Now, the definition of emasculate in the dictionary is to deprive a man of his role or identity, to make someone weaker or appear ineffective. We've had a lot of talk about men and about how they don't really contribute that much in our society. I've often told you many times that I grew up in a Christian home. My father, my uncle, my two grandfathers were strong male figures in my life. I don't know what we got. I want to show you a couple of pictures of these guys up here. That's my dad. My uncle in the green shirt, my dad. On that side, it's Cracker Barrel. These dudes, that's me in the middle. These are my granddads, okay? The one over here is Papa Osborne, the other's Granddad Lee. You see how what I got from them, right there. And then, you know, you've always got that, I've only got one uncle, Uncle Tom, but you've always got that crazy uncle. Now, he was 83 years old here at his birthday, okay? He was the fun uncle. Uncle Tom was just the great guy. But I'm going to tell you, all of these men right here had a dramatic impact on my life growing up. And not only did these men have a dramatic impact on my life, I've been blessed throughout my life to have mentors in my life, men in my life that taught me and showed me and mentored me in the way that I should go. They not only taught me, these men showed me what honor and integrity meant, what keeping your word meant, what serving your wife and your family meant, your church, your community, and serving your country, what that meant. I knew that my father loved my mother. I knew it. Every day, not a day went by when my dad got home from work that he didn't hug and kiss my mom. Even if they'd had a bad day, not a day that I remember him not coming in. I knew that my grandfathers loved my grandmother. They showed it. I knew that my uncle loved my aunt. We're pretty sure that at least 7 of the 10 disciples were fishermen. They were rough-cut men. They were working men that went out and took care of their families by providing for their families and doing the right thing for their families. We know that. These were men's men. My father, my grandfather were men's men. I had those examples. So I ask you again, what has happened to us? What's happened to us? Why are we not leading as we should? Ephesians 2:10 says, "We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." Prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared in advance for us to do good works. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Here's another good one. This is a really good one. Romans 12:2. It's not going to be on the screen. Do not copy the behavior of this world, but let God transform you into a new person, a new man, by changing the way you think. Then you'll know what God wants you to do, and you'll know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Change the way we think. Oh my. We're so self-centered in so many ways. What can you do for me? How can you serve me? I think that about Connie a bunch. How can you serve me? What can you do for me? But God wants us to change it around to, how can I serve you? What can I do to help you? How can you serve your wife? How can you lead and direct your children, your grandchildren? How can you be a mentor and a guide to other children that might not have the benefit of having an earthly father? How can you mend broken relationships, find love and forgiveness and mercy in your homes and in your lives? How? How can you do that? We go to our Heavenly Father for that direction and that guidance. Psalm 68:5 says, God is the fatherless, is the father to the fatherless. He's there. A question was asked of Commander Alan Shepard on May 5th, 1961, as he prepared to board the Mercury capsule to be America's first man in space. And the question was, what is the one thing that you are counting on most? And Alan Shepard's answer was, I'm depending on the fact that God's laws never change. Wow. I'm depending on the fact that God's laws never change. Change and stability comes from basing your life on God's unchanging word. Do you hear what I'm saying? We serve a God of order. He has set guidelines for us that are unchanging in their directions. Look at the world that we live in right now. Look in the world that we live in. It's chaotic. It is chaotic. But our God is a God of order. Our God gives us direction. He gives us purpose. He gives us the path that we need to take and that we need to go on. God's purpose for our lives as men and husbands and fathers never changes. It has never changed from millennium. It will never change, ever. The Lord said in Isaiah 14:24, He said, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will happen. What I say is going to happen. What I have planned is going to be done in our lives. Psalm 145:13 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your domain endures forever through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all that He promises, and He is faithful in all that He does. Amen? Amen. That's right. Romans 8:5 says, those that live according to the sinful nature, they have their mind set on sinful desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. You want to know how to love? and to serve Christ. You want to love, you want to know how to love and serve your wife as Christ served the church and loved the church? Here's your guide. You want to be the father, the grandfather that God wants you to be? Prepared in advance for good works? Here's your guide. You want to be men of honor, men of integrity who are strong in their faith, who show love and kindness and mercy to all those that are around them? Here's your guide. You want to mend your marriage? Mend broken relationships with your parents, your children, your friends? Here's your guide. Amen? Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Not on the things of this world, but think of the things of God, of things that He does." I tell people this all the time, and if you don't believe it, just look around. Don't watch the news. Watch what God's doing in this world. The God that I know is still changing people's lives. He's still mending relationships. He's still taking care of fatherless children. He's still feeding the poor. He's still doing all these things every day, every single day. He's at work. He's at work. And He calls on us to do His work. He calls on men to do His work. He calls on you women to do His work. This isn't a bunch of weak, sissy, mansy, pamsy stuff. It isn't. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, that is telling us this stuff, that is giving us this guide to victory in our lives. The world needs men. I'm going to tell you, the world needs men. But the world needs men of God. The world needs men of faith. Our families need those men. Our communities need those men. Our churches need those men. And I'll tell you something else, gentlemen, young or old, we hadn't got long to do it. We hadn't got a long time to do it. Solomon contended in Ecclesiastes 7:10, a wise man acknowledges his mortality. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working or planning or knowledge or wisdom. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Good works. We hadn't got long. Vince Lombardi said, "You've spent your life preparing for the next season. This is the final season." You've spent your life preparing for the next season. This is the final season. Young men, middle-aged men, old men, this is the season. This is the final season that God has called you to be leaders of your families. 25 years ago, probably, my father said to me, I was the chief deputy with the sheriff's office. My dad said to me, I was all tore up about something. I know you've probably heard this story before. Y'all know I got shot at the sheriff's part, didn't you? Had to throw that in there. I got jokes. Everybody's always talking about me. Talking about that. But anyway, my dad said this. He said, "Son, I want you to tell me the sheriff's name 50 years ago." I said, "Pop, I don't know the sheriff's name 50 years ago." He said, "That's exactly right, son." He said, "They're not going to know your name either." He said, I'll tell you who will know what you're doing. He said, your family's going to know what you're doing. Amen. He said, your family, they're going to know what you're doing. All these things that the world tries to teach us about, money, power, sex, self-gratification, all are temporary. All are lies of the world, because it's all going to go. Our legacy lies in the lives that we touch for the kingdom of God. That's where our legacy lies. Our legacy lies with our family. That's where our legacy lies. So be the leader. Be the man. Be the husband. And be the father and mentor that God has called us all to be. Here is your guide. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the celebration of fathers. And I just ask that you put your hand on all the men that are in here today. That you truly help us all to be the leaders and the guides and the husbands and the fathers and the grandfathers that you would have us to be. Help us to search your word, to search your direction, to search your compass in the direction that you would have us to go in our church, in our community, and in this world, Father. Let us share the victories with others. Let us share your love, your kindness, your mercy, and your compassion with all those that we encounter, Father. We love you, and I thank you for all the blessings you have bestowed upon this congregation. And all the families that are gathered here today, Father, we love you. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.